Hello and welcome to End Goals, an LCMS Youth Ministry podcast. I'm host Reverend Mark Kiesling, and I'm with DCE Juliana Schultz. We're here to bring parents, church workers, and lay leaders discussions and resources to help your youth ministry meet its end goal, which is young people who are disciples of Jesus Christ for life. Today, we're going to talk about how we engage supportive adults as we talk about seven practices of healthy youth ministry.
We are continuing our series where we talk about the practices of the seven practices of healthy youth ministry. As we talked about in our book, we talked about these way back at the start of the podcast. I think they're like episodes like 4 through 10 or something like that. But now that we've been around a while, we want to go back. And today we're talking about supportive adults. These are faithful Christian adults outside of parents who get to know teens, who care for them and encourage them. And hopefully if you're listening to this, you can point back to a supportive adult in your past who made a difference for you. Mark, do you have some supportive adults you remember from your teen years?
Absolutely. We're blessed to have so many people in my congregation that invested in me in that way. And people outside my congregation too, but one in particular. I had a youth worker who was on staff at our church. Bob Baker is his name, and just invested in young people, cared for them, was there as a listening ear, pointed us to Jesus, his word, and allowed us to have fun too, which was great to build relationships, not only with him within the church, but with peers too, and really create an environment for us to invite our friends into youth ministry too, which was a great impact. I know the lives of many of my friends. How about you?
Yeah, it's very similar. Obviously, my mom's a DCE, but we also had a DCE for youth ministry, Jim Bradshaw. And we had tons of lay leaders who were really great. One of whom, Jeff Lane, who was my youth leader, now just went through the SMP program, just got ordained, nice. Which is all super right. Exciting. I have an amazing set of godparents who were outside of my family, Bruce and Anna. And so like they were an incredible blessing to my life. And just, lots of parents of my friends who were faithful Christians who were supportive as well.
Well, we were certainly not the first to talk about supportive adults as critical for discipleship for young people. We saw this in Fuller's research for Sticky Faith. We saw the importance of hospitality in Lutheran Hour Ministries research with Barna. And we see this around Scripture as God gives us a community of people to help raise young people in the faith.
But we also know that it isn't easy for us to create and maintain those supportive adult relationships. It takes time. It takes intentionality, mm-hmm. as do all the practices, mm-hmm. right? To ensure that every young person has at least 5 supportive adults in their lives. So to talk more about this, we are bringing on DCE Haley Jo Miller. Haley Jo is the Director of Student Ministry at Memorial Lutheran Church. She served in ministry for 13 years and loves working with students to affirm their baptismal identity and connect God's word to their daily living. Her current hobby is cleaning up after her 5 children and saying no to the 59th snack of the day. Haley Jo, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Sounds like a fun hobby.
Oh, isn't it though?
The first 50, awesome. 57, 58 snacks are totally S's always the time.
Yeah. That's great. Some they for sure gathered by themselves without asking.
Yeah. So we got to hear about you briefly in that intro, but tell us something more about your vocations, your role in youth ministry, and things that bring you joy.
Yeah. So I love my job, and I truly believe that I have the best job in the world. But outside of just leading middle school, high school, and college students, I also I work with curriculum. I choose curriculum, write curriculum. I recruit and train our wonderful volunteers, and I help make sure that they feel like they're equipped and capable to lead our students, our young people. I really love highs and lows are like my favorite time when we gather together, just because I get like an insight into their each kid's day and I want to know more. And it's a lot of fun. I take way too long on highs and lows, but I love getting to know their lives. And, my prayers and the things that flow from those highs and lows are really special. So I love to go to football games, volleyball games, theater. I'm not really a big musician person, but I will do it because I love the kid. Just trying to, plug myself in and see what's going on in their lives and just enjoy what they enjoy. That's one of the things I love the most. And connecting all of that back to Jesus. Anytime they have something going on, I try to make sure that we're talking about Christ, we're talking about his word, and hopefully, pointing them back to the one who loves them more than anyone else. So,
yeah,
I love it. One of the things we love to hear from youth ministry leaders is about their junior and senior high school years. Can you share for us how Jesus used a key moment or moments or people to help keep you connected to his church and to him?
Yeah. I grew up in rural Idaho. So our congregation was very small. And going to church for me was really special because it was basically family time. There were a lot of cousins and aunts and uncles. And so, yeah, it was really, it always felt like family is what church was for me. And my youth leaders were lay-led. Shout out to Scott and Jen Holtzen. They were wonderful, fabulous people. Jen took me to get my hair colored for the first time. She has three boys, so I was her surrogate daughter. And I'm actually godmother to their youngest son. So, yeah, I just had really special relationship with them. I got plugged into ministry at Camp Perkins, and that's where I met Mark Blonkey for the first time and was introduced to DCE ministry. And I thought, wait a second, I can teach people about Jesus and have fun doing it and get paid. Like I could buy a car, I could live in a house. Sign me up. Couldn't wait.
Awesome. That's fantastic. We love camp ministry as well.
Yes.
And supportive adults, all sorts of good things. So you talk about how much you love what you do, right? But what do you love most about working with young people and their parents in your congregation and community?
Yeah, I love being there for parents. I love that I get to walk alongside parents. I've had numerous conversations just in the last week of, you know, parents and how their kids are doing and how I can come alongside them to remind them of God's will for their kids, what God wants for them, but also to cheer them on and celebrate wins with them too. So that's really an enjoyable opportunity for me. It's also sometimes challenging because you never know what you're going to get. But yeah, I love working with kids and their parents especially. I think that parents sometimes think that as church workers, we're filling a void that they have, or, you know, they don't necessarily feel comfortable or confident in leading their children in faith. But I like to remind them that I'm the water boy, that God's the coach, they're the assistant coach, and I'm the water boy. I'm there when I'm called up and needed. And I love supporting them and their plan for their kids, but their role is so much more important than mine. And the, you know, Seven Practices and Y'all's Relationship Counts book really brings that home too, helps parents see that they're more important, their opinion matters more than mine does. So I'm there to be supportive and helpful.
Love to hear how you're talking about equipping lay people in your congregation. We're blessed by the investment of lay leaders in your young years in church to be able to be, again, have those relationship connections, but also open God's word. And so how do you have that conversation maybe in your congregations to help those investing in young people to think about themselves as supportive adults, maybe not just as drivers or chaperones, but adding that level of investment into a young person?
Yeah. So I like to think of it this way. You know the term "see something, say something." Mm-hmm. I like to make sure that if I see any adult, whether they think they're a supportive adult of teens or not, do something that is affirming and helpful for our students in their faith walk, to say something. For example, this past Sunday, Evie Prawl got up and did the reading for LWML Sunday, and afterwards, I just thanked her for standing in leadership for her grandkids, for the sake of her grandchildren, that they would see her leading in the church and how impactful that is for their faith. So, you know, just if I see it, making sure that I acknowledge it and say something. I also think that our supportive adults maybe don't think that, know that they're supportive or think that they're supportive. I think in the book you talk about people who sit around youth in church. And I think Lutheran Family Services put something out called Pew Buddies not too long ago, I think. So I really like that term, Pew Buddies. My children have a lot of pew buddies. I need lots of pew buddies. But, you know, I see when my college students come home, for example, and they come to church, you know, it's not often, but to see the people that have sat around them and watched them grow up, chat with them after worship to see how they're doing and what they're doing, those are supportive adults. You know, those are the people that are my college students are excited to see when they come home, because they've been worshiping with them and around them for as long as they've been there. So, yeah, seeing it, saying something, and just acknowledging that significant adults come in all shapes and sizes, and it's more about time than it is, to me, talent. Because the time for students, any time you can give them makes them feel special and important, and they will remember that for sure.
Yeah, I love that, you know, we're looking at for those adults, and it's not nearly as complicated as we think. Like, what are some of the qualities you would say you're looking for in a supportive adult? Or, like, what are you hoping that they're doing when they're engaging with young people? How would you maybe define that?
Yeah, so I would say just asking them questions about their life, connecting to them. You know, how's school going? How's football? Oh, you're in football. What position do you play? When my kid was in football, they played this position. Or, you know, is the rivalry between this school and that school the same? You know, just to engage with them in their reality, what they're going through and what's important to them at the time, I think is the biggest, because it really drives home, hey, this person's paying attention to me. I have a supportive adult. His name is Brett. And on a Sunday morning, one of his volunteer jobs is to stand in the kitchen window and hand out script cards to everyone. But his secondary job is to watch for all those middle school students who think that they are invisible behind their moms and dads. And he will call them out by name. He won't greet moms and dads. He'll greet the kids and ask them how they're doing. And I think for middle schoolers, just to know that there's an adult that remembers their name is so significant. You know, I'm not going to be able to walk by the kitchen without Brett calling me out and saying hi to me. I think that that's really important too. I also think it's important that our adults feel comfortable and confident in sharing how their faith has shaped them, to be able to talk to kids about, I went through something like that when I was your age, and this is kind of what saw me through. Or I have a significant adult who would say, I didn't have a very good past. I didn't always go to church. My faith was not a priority when I was young, and this is what that looked like. But now this is what my life looks like, and I want to give back, and I want to engage with kids. And just giving them the time and meeting them where they are, I think, is the biggest priority.
You've been blessed with supportive adults who invest maybe a lot of time and energy into young people and youth ministry functions. We saw in the research, like you said too, pew buddies, people who interact with young people, maybe not in highly programmatic situations, but are part of the body of Christ together. How might you engage maybe those supportive adults that are maybe outside of those regular youth ministry functions you might see to be, again, still investing in young people and see their important role in that?
Yeah, so I read this book with my youth ministry team called 7 Practices for Healthy Youth Ministry.
Never heard of it.
Yeah. And there was, when we met and we talked about the book, it was easy to go, this is all so amazing. Let's do all of it. That's a lot. And actually, I appreciate how often you said, just pick one little thing.
One thing.
Pick one thing. Our one thing is introducing service areas or people in serving in ministry within the congregation, in the hopes to introduce gifts, skills, joys to our students, and maybe hopefully get some of them plugged into those places, so that when they graduate high school and are on their own, they know how to serve. They know, they already have that connection, and they're not nervous. They feel confident in how they can serve the church. So that's our one thing. So October 23rd, Peggy Bainey is going to come into high school ministry, and she is kind of the guru of serving the community. And she's going to just talk about who she is and why she does what she does and where she serves. And we as youth ministry, myself and my lay leaders, our goal too is going to be listening to Peggy's gifts and thinking about students who might share that same gift, and encouraging them to get involved in those ways. So that's our one big thing and our way too of introducing or involving other supportive adults into youth ministry. I introduced this to our council, and I said, well, it was right before I went on maternity leave, but I said, y'all get ready, because I'm going to be calling you and I'm going to ask you to come in and introduce yourself to our kids. And not only that, you need to be ready to train somebody to serve alongside you who is a middle schooler or high schooler. And they're capable. So you need to get ready. I am praying I'm going to do this. So it's been on the old business on the council agenda for a while. So they're ready. They know it's coming. Awesome.
Well, and I love that finding supportive adults is both like an organic, casual thing that will happen when you sit in the same pew every week. But it's also something that we can have programs that help us facilitate that bridge, right? Help us to build that relationship. So maybe it's I'm inviting everybody, to come talk to the youth, or I've done panels of older adults that come and talk to the confirmands, or we have prayer partners in other congregations. What are some of the other programmatic ways you've helped adults connect relationally with teens?
Yeah, so one of the biggest ones that I utilize is mentorship. So our middle school confirmation, we meet twice a month fellowship, and the first part of that is our confirmation students meet with a mentor, and that mentor follows them all throughout confirmation. And so I kind of pick who they're going to get very strategically. And so those supportive adults are, I would call them, they high level, right? Because they do need to like spending time with young people and engaging with young people. And then I have in a high school level on Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings, I have small group leaders or just adults that come alongside, and they do the same thing. They connect, they play, I just tell them participate at 100%. Like, you're here to do it with alongside the kids, get to know them, and you're, an extension of myself and this position. The other piece of it is, NYG is coming up. Maybe you guys have heard of that too.
What?
Live and breathe and eat it. So I used to just get chaperones that I liked or that wanted to go. Like a warm body, I'll take ya. And then we had the gathering in Minnesota. And one of my students lost their mom while we were on the trip, while we were there. And that was pretty wild. Mm. And it shifted everything for me. So when we have our parent meeting at the, beginning of the NYG planning, I say, if you would like to chaperone, that's great. I love that. You need to know that chaperoning is not just going and being a warm body and getting to watch and experience this through your child's eyes. I make my chaperones work, and my chaperones have to build relationships with the kids. So if you're interested in joining student ministry and engaging with our students regularly, then please come and talk to me. But I will no longer take a chaperone that my kids don't know and don't know my kids, simply because that traumatic experience required a lot of heart, a lot of emotional care. Mm-hmm. And I thank God for the team that he gave me then. But I look at that so much different now, and I take it very seriously. And I think that we should, not just for the gathering, but in all cases, like we should be very picky about who we want engaging with our kids and why. You know, it shouldn't just be a warm body. It should be someone who loves them and is going to invest in them. So, I mean, I cannot get to everyone's baseball games. I can't do that. So, you know, everybody, it's all hands on deck. Right. It's all hands on deck.
For sure. Well, from time to time, Julianne and I or others will hear objections to maybe people investing in time. I think you've said you've heard that, Julianne, at presentations.
Yeah, this is one of those things where I think adults are a little nervous, right? They're maybe scared of teens, just in general, or nervous about how they're going to come across. Because I think sometimes as adults, when we start talking to teens, maybe for the first time in a long time, we suddenly revert to being a teen.
Right.
And all of that anxiety.
Yeah, right.
Right. And like all of a sudden now you have to work through like everything you thought you left behind in high school.
I revert back to the high school, to that age in all the good ways.
Right?
I'm not nervous. I'm gonna join you. I'm gonna meet you at that level. We're gonna have a good time.
But in your experience, what have you seen in terms of people, what might hold them back from becoming a supportive adult?
I mean, I think, it's this fear of they're not gonna take me seriously. You know, maybe it's an experience they had with their own children, not necessarily taking them seriously or valuing their input. But I think just helping them see that they don't have to be, you know, me. They don't have to be this charismatic, outgoing, extroverted individual that has to stand up in front of a huge room, right? That it is what it's a lot of one-on-one, and it isn't more than time and very little effort in getting to know and engaging with that age group. The things that I enjoyed and experienced as a high schooler, still going on. Like nothing really has changed. A lot of peer pressure, a lot of anxiety or doubt about who you are and what you're supposed to be doing. And we as adults have a lot of wisdom we can share. We have a lot to give back. And I think that if we just help people, again, seeing it, saying something, and helping build that confidence in our adults, then maybe they'll feel more comfortable taking those times and those opportunities. And maybe when we define supportive adults, doing that low capacity and high capacity so that they feel like, okay, I'm maybe not here at high capacity level right now, but I can sit by a young adult. I can sit by a teenager and say hi and greet them every morning and know their name and shake their hand and say their name so they know that I see them. And I think that, helping them maybe bite off little bits and they maybe won't be so afraid. I mean, they don't bite. They eat a lot. they don't bite.
I mean, it works even better if you approach them with food.
Right. Yes, right? And them a donut. They'll be your best friend.
So good. Right?
Yeah. Well, as we close, what encouragement would you make to youth leaders looking to increase teens' connection to supportive adults?
Here's my encouragement. I don't like imagining the afterwards. I don't like imagining graduate, you know, that all the work and all the things that we've done, that it's for nothing. I like making sure that when they walk out, they graduate and they leave, I and the church have provided them everything we possibly can to help make sure that they continue in their faith journey. I think that should be the goal. Not just, did we have a great VBS? did we have a great time at the gathering? What are we working towards here? And so the encouragement is, if the if the studies show that it's important, that it's a priority, then we should make it a priority. That should be what our goal is. And it, your book has really changed the way I look at programs. It's changed the way I look at my call and my job description, how I utilize my time and energy. And I'm really grateful for that. And I have so much hope for our students, and I just don't want to send them off in the wrong direction. Like, I want to give them as much as I possibly can that's right and good. So thank you for your work so that it could help me in mine.
Our pleasure.
Yeah.
It's been fun.
It's great. And, you know, I think there are, like you said, you know, the seven practices can be really overwhelming, but hopefully you're reading the book, you're listening to these interviews, you're seeing kind of the single steps that people are making that are going to help get to that end goal where they are faithful Christians for the rest of their lives, and we get to see them.
Yeah, I think another thing that you guys do really well is you talk about the low-hanging fruit. For confirmation, we set out these projects, and kids have to stand by their projects, and people come and talk to them about their final project and what they did. And I just happened to be in the right place at the right time. This wonderful woman, Lorna Friese, walked up to each of my confirmants, and she drew the sign of the cross upon their head and upon their heart. I know, and spoke a blessing onto them. And I thought, oh my goodness. I didn't know she did that, but that was so impactful. It was so impactful. And so the good news is that when you read the book, maybe you're thinking, gosh, we don't do this and we don't do that. Well, listen, the Holy Spirit is already doing more than we could possibly do. And he's much better at it than we are. So, you know, when you catch the Lorna Friese moments and you're like, wow, God doesn't need me. God doesn't need me to do this. He's already doing it. I just get to highlight and embolden what he's already doing. And so, yeah, it's a trip. It's a wonderful trip. That's for sure.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining us and for sharing your expertise. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Haley Joel. We're thankful to hear those stories of how supportive adults are engaging in the lives of young people and LCMS congregations, of those people, again, that word intentionality, of build those relationships, know those kids' names, pray with them, bless them, be encouraging them through their walk, whether it's through confirmation, but also out into the world and their sports and academic and extracurriculars. It's just wonderful to see the body of Christ rally around young people in that way.
Yeah, I love how Haley Joe's congregation is being intentional about how they're inviting those people into their ministry setting, right? That they're saying, like, hey, we want to make that bridge between what's happening in other parts of that congregation or adults that are in you know, using their gifts and skills in other ways to be able to say, like, okay, we want you to meet our kids. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it really is as simple as just setting up a series of those meetings, and that can look a lot of different ways, but bridging those conversations, those relationships can really kickstart a lot of really great things.
Absolutely. And to see the ability for, like, different generations to come together as well, to share those stories about, like, you know, many things adolescents are the same. There's those same questions that you know, we were talking about in our youth years growing up, that you have those same questions, those same doubts, those same struggles, and to be able to hear from another adult that says, I've been there, God got me through it, relationships were important for me, here's where God's word spoken to those difficult times, and be able to give hope for young people and know that there are caring people around them that have walked through those trials and had those joys as well. And to be able to give them, again, that tangible word of encouragement and hope that God is with them, that God loves them, and that Jesus walks with them through all those things in life. So what a great way, again, that the body of Christ can be that supportive people for young people.
Ways that it's so much easier than we expect. Like, teenagers aren't going to...
Right.
You know, bite your head off or anything. And we say it requires you to be intentional. And I love how we think about, you know, those youth leaders that are bringing kids to the youth gathering, mm-hmm. and how we want them to be fully ingrained in that youth ministry in order to be walking with those young people if and when they might have those struggles. So, mm-hmm. so many good things to think about there. Some closing questions to consider. What youth around you in your congregation can you build a supportive relationship with?
How can you help build a culture in your congregation that appreciates the gift of relationships in the body of Christ?
And finally, how can you help introduce new adults to teens in your congregation? We will continue to keep you in our prayers as you connect youth to supportive adults who can walk with them and love them as they share the good news of Jesus.
End Goals Podcast is a production of LCMS Youth Ministry and KFUO Radio. To find links mentioned in the episode or more about LCMS Youth Ministry, go to kfuo.org/youthministry and find resources for youth ministry at youthesource.com. Thank you for listening and caring for the young people of our church.